Warning, what you are about to hear is not for the faint-hearted. This is their cue to stop listening. It's time to stop giving a fuck about offending every retarded cocksucker and little bitch pussy. For every asshole, twat, and chode, the cunts of America will continue to make jokes with the freedom bestowed upon us by the First Amendment. We will no longer be afraid to piss off the woke bastards. In the words of the great Joan Rivers, just lighten the fuck up. These are just jokes, you assholes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Get Canceled. I'm your host, Cheryl Scott, and if you enjoy this podcast, please like, review, subscribe, and share. Share this baby, get the word out. You know you want to.
Even if you don't enjoy the podcast, share, subscribe, and like. Yeah,
absolutely. And send it to people you
hate.
Tell
people how horrible it is.
Yeah.
Tell them
it
sucks.
Yeah.
But tell them about it.
Tell them. Just be like, this bitch and her annoying voice fucking sucks balls.
And her friends.
And her friends are retarded, so you gotta listen to it.
Super.
There we go. And then, yeah. You know, that's how we get the word out. I honestly think bad press is better than good press, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I mean, it got at least one guy elected.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So today we're going to do things a little bit differently. I'm super excited. I have my first non-anonymous guest. Welcome, Vic.
Wow. He has a, you know.
Sweet. Say hello.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, everybody. Happy to be on the show. Happy to be the first non-anonymous guest.
First non-anonymous guest. That's because he's got some real kahunas. He identifies as someone who identifies. What paradox are you walking us into?
I don't know.
I don't even know. It's all out of control. Did you watch the South Park Panderverse?
Panderverse.
It's so good. Did you see that one?
It was good. I liked it. Yeah. Kathleen Kennedy ruined Star Wars. Yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
They're all ruining everything. It's so bad. I saw this commercial for Virgin Airlines that was probably one of the most inclusive things I've ever seen. There was all the colors of the rainbow, including glitter, and a female pilot, and everyone's strutting and walking. It's like the new wave. And I'm just like, I don't fucking care if you're a pilot who's white, black, gay, they, the other, anything. I want to make sure you know what to do if shit goes down. I want the best. I'm so done with this inclusive bullshit.
Right.
I don't know how many they pilots there are out there. I think
they're coming.
You know, out of all the genders, the theys make up the smallest portion of pilots, I'm going to guess. Just going out on them. I think a lot of theys are software engineers, bloggers, you know.
Software engineers, you think?
Political activists.
I feel like it's the Bay Area, California specific thing we have going on over there.
Yeah, California is one step away from Canada. And I also think, you know, let's just throw in Oregon as well and Washington. They've all lost their minds.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Everyone, there's like the anti-government people. There's like the, I don't know, separatists, whatever you want to call them, like the separate factions in Oregon who have their own land, you know, or they're trying to defend
the government
off of. And then there's the people who just want to break in and break everything and destroy
everything. Yes. It's interesting that you talk about break in and break everything, because one thing that I've noticed, I don't know if you guys have noticed, is this crazy ass rise in crime. And I bring this up because our special guest here, Vic, is here because he wrote a book. Let's give him a round of applause.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
You've written a book and I've never even read a book. So that's great. It's called Apaches of New York. You want to talk a little bit about what it is?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Thank you. You know, thanks for having me on. Very excited. Like you were saying, no such thing as bad press. So that's the whole point of me showing up on this show.
Woo!
Maybe sell a few books here. So I wrote a book called Apaches of New York. It's about the first mafia family in New York City, set in the early 1900s. Based on true story, if you like The Godfather, if you like The Sopranos, that kind of thing, this is the book for you. Definitely very action-oriented. Got plenty of gore in there for you. An R-rated book, John Wick-ish book, if you will.
Very nice.
I will.
What type of research did you do for this type of book?
This may be the first book I read.
Oh, there you
ever.
Go.
I'm going to learn to read so that I could read.
That's amazing.
Read this book. read the book or do I read the book?
You will do both because it's spelled the same way.
Read sounds more past tense.
Okay, because it looks the same on paper.
It does.
I heard.
Yeah, it does.
That's what
it
they tell me.
It definitely does.
And I'll learn that when I learn to read.
We are doing God's work here at Get Canceled. We are inspiring young minds to take up a book and read.
That's why I'm doing this, to spread literacy.
I love it. Okay, yes. So yes, tell me about the type of research that you did for something like this, because it is based on a true story. Are the names changed or is it factual in that way?
All the names are real. It's set in 1911 and it's about the Morello crime family. And these guys were the predecessor to the current Gambino crime family. So the first crime family in America in New York City was founded by this guy, Giuseppe Morello, and his three half-brothers. And this is a story of what happens to the half-brothers after Giuseppe, the godfather figure, goes to jail. He goes to federal prison for counterfeiting, and the brothers have to step up into the role. So for research, you know, I was a history major. I definitely read a lot of history books. Mike Dash's The First Family was definitely a really good one with a lot of historical context. There's a lot of really good biographies from back in the day, like that gangster era of John Dillinger and all that. So I enjoy reading all those books. That's kind of where I got the idea to take this and fictionalize it and, you know, hopefully sell some books, maybe sell the screenplay, fucking retire to the south of France. I don't know. That's the dream, right?
So that's
what we're shooting for. Yes.
I love it. I think that's great.
Not the south of San Francisco?
No. Not the poop-infested streets of San Francisco.
South San Francisco is actually, it's a separate city. I believe you're talking about
the Oakland area? Because that's fucking gnarly.
That's east, yeah.
Oh,
no, South San Francisco, I think, is a separate city, and it's not like San Francisco.
You mean like San Jose?
It's more suburby. No, it's South San Francisco. It's more like suburby, I think.
We don't research before we do this show, so just take that with a grain of salt. I don't know. I've been to San Francisco many times. I've never heard of the South San Francisco, but like San Francisco is not an island.
No.
It's a peninsula.
Neither is any man. No man is also.
No man is an island.
Yes.
I find the concept of mafia so interesting. It's all about loyalty, respect, and family.
Right, exactly.
You have to do a lot of shit to get there. You have to earn that trust and earn that respect because they're not about that snitch's life.
No.
Mafia life. Do you feel like when you were doing your research, once someone finds their way there, are they ever able to get themselves out of that lifestyle? Because you hear about that as well with drug cartels and gangs.
Yeah, so my book is set in the early 1900s. Right when the boom of Italian immigration to America, Little Italy, when this was a thing. So really, when guys joined the mafia back then and organized crime in general, it was very clannish, much more so than it is now.
Clan like white supremacy clan or clan like...
No, like it's an extended family.
Okay.
It's like an extended family.
They keep it in the bloodline.
Like the Olive Garden, like when you're here, your family.
No, not like the Olive Garden. No.
So back in the day, like you were not welcomed if you were an outsider. The early mafia would not have people from another town in their family. The families in New York were based on the families from the old country in Sicily. It wasn't really until the 1920s, 1930s when they started accepting a lot of outsiders. And that's because with prohibition, you know, and making things illegal, there was that explosion in crime that came along with prohibition and the outlawing of alcohol. So like, you know, like you brought up the cartels, right? Very similar effect with the cartels and the drug industry today, where there are companies, they're multi-billion dollar companies with private armies who import billions of dollars worth of commodities internationally every year. You know, it's crazy.
Money is power. The more money you have, you can get anything done because you can buy whatever you need to accomplish, whether it's you're buying politicians, the police force, you're buying actual businesses to control the market, whatever you need to do, you're able to do so because you have money.
That's actually Costco's slogan.
That and $2.99 hot dogs,
whatever
right?
You need, money will buy it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And you get to. It's interesting when you talk about it had to be a bloodline, especially back then, even now, really, if you think about it, who do you trust, right? Are you going to trust family? Because there is that connection there. You can't get rid of family. And bringing an outsider in is very risky. You don't know if they're going to turn on you down the line. People seem committed and then they can flip.
Back in the day, that's how it worked for literally everybody because people were not as connected as we are. People didn't travel as much. Like, who's this outsider? It could be the Italian family. It could be a family's village in a shtetl in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I assume they had shtetls in Poland.
I don't know what a shtetl is. It sounds like Yiddish.
Again, I didn't research it. but, you know, whatever it was back in the day, it was any new person, any outsider was really different, and you probably didn't speak their language.
Yeah.
You know, when it came to like little cultures or tight-knit communities or families, or, you know, a lot of cultures were religious-based back then.
It's interesting that you talk about that, and that time period specifically is very prone to groups.
Yeah.
You stayed within your group. I think people bitching today about racism, classism, all this shit, that was full throttle back in the day because you stayed within your circle. The Irish didn't like the Italians, who didn't like the Scottish, who didn't like the this. They're all white, but there's all this racism and fighting against one another.
Yeah, so back in the day, like you said, there was gangs for every ethnic and religious group in New York City. And one of the big gangs was Jewish, the Eastman Gang.
Oh, yeah.
And
we represent.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that we were that hardcore. Usually
we're... Yeah, you guys were hardcore. They were hardcore back in the day. The Eastman Gang, they went to war with the Five Points Gang. Like, they were the two biggest gangs in the city. There's a lot of books written back in the day where they interview rabbis and, like, other figures in the community. And they're like, you know, we knew they were bad boys, but when someone pulled our hair, or, like, you know, mess with a Jew on the trolley, they would take care of them. And one of the big issues from back in the day as well was the issue of white slavery, which is something I had never heard of before I started reading about all these books. And that's when they would, like, find immigrant girls who are getting off, you know, just get off the boat on Ellis Island, and then they would get kidnapped and taken into, like, illegal prostitution. So these Jewish gangs, they would patrol the docks and, like, make sure that these young Jewish immigrant girls were not getting taken advantage of and, like, getting kidnapped and put into slavery. So the gangs, they did provide a service to the community. Back in the day, they did provide that service to the community.
Do you think do you think they provide a service and they filled a void, right?
They were trying to not have voids filled.
Yeah.
You mean... They served a purpose in the community, even though they did horrible things. Do you feel like part of that mafia mentality to justify the evil things that they did was because they were able to maintain a presence that maybe the police weren't able to do, and they could handle things in a way and deal with shit quickly because they didn't have to get the law involved? So it did serve a purpose of keeping decorum.
There also was, like, not 911. You didn't call the police on your cell phone when something happened. So it's an interesting question. Like, I don't know the background behind it, but, like, the cliche is the mafia, the mob, they're getting protection money, right? Probably back in the day, they were just like, oh, we're your homies, we're your people, you know, we take care of you, you take care of us, right? Back in the day, it sounds like they actually were needed for protection, and then it turned into, like, a business or whatever.
They're willing to get their hands dirty in a way that people who follow the law aren't able to do. You also mentioned prohibition. Government made this law, no alcohol. Alcohol is banned. People want alcohol because it's fun. And the mafia comes in. No argument, right? And the mafia comes in and sees this opportunity to serve a purpose toward their community. And they can make a lot of money off of doing it. All those illegal speakeasies.
Yeah, I mean, prohibition was the thing that took the gangs from neighborhood problems to citywide problems to national problems, what they became, right? And then you look at the cartels, that's a different example of the same growth that you had, where now they're international. But the gangs and my book's about 1911, so like the years leading up to prohibition. Once prohibition hit, then they went from being a neighborhood issue to being, you know, a citywide thing. And he talks about power and money before. The local city bosses who, like, controlled votes would own the gangsters. After prohibition in the 1920s, then the gangsters own the politicians. There's a famous story of Al Capone beating the shit out of the mayor of Cicero because he did something that he didn't like. Cicero is this little town south of Chicago, and Al Capone owned the town. So definitely there's the power and money back then. I don't know if that answered your question. I'm kind of spacey.
No, I mean, we're super activated here. We're drinking, we're smoking some weed. But I find it interesting how they're able to buy off the politicians. And once again, money is power. I actually talk a lot about that in terms of today. Everything is, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, here's money, but strings are attached. So it's very similar today, the dynamic that was, what, over 100 years
ago? Yeah, over 100 years ago. There's a little difference to me because the gangs were like a neighborhood problem, then they're a city problem, right? The cartels are an international problem, right? Where, like, the corruption back in the day, that was like a state problem. Now it's everywhere, right? And if your, like, mayor is corrupt, you can talk to that guy. You know, you can maybe reach an understanding with him. If the whole government is corrupt, then you're just screwed. Local corruption is a little bit easier on you. If you know the guy who's corrupt, it's a little bit easier on you than if it's just a faceless entity.
Good old-fashioned neighborhood corruption.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what we need in America. We need to get back to the old days.
The parallels about what's going on today. You mentioned the cartels, and I did want to touch a little bit on the drug cartels. There's fucking craziness going on with the border. We're about to piss off some bleeding hearts right now, okay? And, like, I do try to keep my show not political, but I do think that this is an important topic to discuss. And once again, we're not a news program. We haven't done any research. This is completely opinion-based. And hopefully we'll have some opinions that are different from each other, different from you listening. We can piss some people off. I love to piss people off. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I would like to get into this idea of the cartels coming in, this open border that we've had for about 3 years now that is completely open. It's so easy for people to come in. We have had record high immigrants, illegal immigrants coming in.
But why control our borders? Name one.
Wait. Let me just set the stage for what we're going to say. Okay. So that is the situation where all of these people are coming in. In the entire world, nobody has open borders because people protect their country, and you need to screen people just like you would if your daughter's marrying some guy. You want to make sure that this guy is not fucking fucktard.
Or when someone knocks on the door to your house.
Exactly. You have to make sure and do some checks and balances like this isn't a fucking criminal or terrorist coming in. But that's not happening because we have open borders. People who are seeking asylum. Yes, that's a thing. However, for every good deed, there is a slew of people that are going to use that and take advantage of it for the wrong ways. And that's what we're seeing with the drug cartels, the fentanyl problem we have going in, human trafficking. I mean, your book, you talked about Jews being trafficked. This is in the early 1900s. Now we have people being trafficked, and it's so easy for them to come in. And we don't even know what's going on in our own country because we're letting anybody in, good and bad. And that's why you have to pay attention. Also, only country in the world that is doing something like this. It's fucking sloppy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the human trafficking is the worst out of all of that's going on. You know, so many people are having their lives destroyed. They're chasing this dream that they can get to America and are getting taken advantage of the whole way. You know, you hear about some horror stories that are happening to these people as they try to make it to America. They are victims in a way of, like, they got lied to by the government and by the news. Like, oh, yeah, you can come in here. And then, you know, they get taken advantage of the whole way.
Are the people who are pushing everyone to do this, though, like, do they care that they're actually responsible for people getting into these situations and they're, like, misleading them into getting trafficked into whatever it is? They have the, I don't know what it's called, like corporate labor, like the farms. In this country, all these places and factories and farms that have illegal immigrants, they pay someone like $20,000 for the person to be a slave, basically.
Well, that's the big conspiracy theory, and, like, I'm a libertarian, so I'm very conspiracy theory adjacent.
I do love a good conspiracy theory. I'm not gonna
lie.
We
get along very
well.
A lot of people think that the open border policy is to drive down the cost of wages, because if there's more people here, then you have to pay less for the work. So that's definitely one of the things that is out there. Do I think that's part of it? Maybe that's why the government's doing it, but I also think that it's just a lot of incompetence. You know, these people don't know what they're doing. So
Hang on one second. What does that say?
It says time left, 10 minutes. Was this like a free call
or something? Yeah, this was a free call.
Oh, yeah. They limit.
Is that what Zoom does?
Yeah.
So then we'll just do another one and you can call back because I got more to say.
Right.
Okay, we got more to say. Yeah, that's
okay. Cool.
Yeah. What were we saying?
That's an excellent question. We're all fucking
activated.
That is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to spread the word of activation and retard. There's been a war on the word retard, and I find it personally offensive that there is
that's retarded.
Like, it's so retarded. Leave me alone and let me say retarded, because retarded is going to evolve into something else. And if you can't say retarded, people are going to be like, oh, they're special, or if that's a special person right there. So what, are you going to come and say we can't say the word special? Fuck off.
Yeah, fuck off.
Viva comedy.
I'm going to shut my borders to that kind of
nonsense. Borders. Oh, yeah. We were talking about human trafficking.
And also, you were saying that, you know, your libertarian conspiracy theory stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theory adjacent.
Adjacent leads you to believe that the open borders are a function of wanting to keep the labor costs down. And I was going to say that what's crazy about it is that, like, that makes sense. And then we have these stupid high minimum wage increases that are just, like, hyper inflating.
I 100% wanted to mention that.
That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Because who's paying for the increase for minimum wage? We are.
It's not the business owner. They're just going to raise prices.
Right.
So we're paying for all of this cost, but are we necessarily getting an increase in wage? No.
Not necessarily. Not at all.
Not at all. And also, someone who works at Starbucks should not make the same amount of money as someone who is a elementary school teacher.
But forget about that. It's hyper.
Just saying.
This minimum wage increase, it's hyperinflation. Because who is it actually helping, the minimum wage? What happens when someone who's making minimum wage, they're not, what is their, what are they paying?
I like mean, I want to say 20. It might vary from state to state.
Yeah, vary state to state, yeah.
But when they increase the cost of minimum wage, what happens? Everything, your food goes up, your grocery store, your rent, everything goes up. So those people who are now getting more money are not keeping more money. They're just spending more money.
Mm-hmm. It's a ripple effect.
It's not even a ripple effect. It's worse. Because what about when you don't benefit from a minimum wage increase? So basically, if you don't make minimum wage, you're not getting any more money.
Yeah.
But all of your costs are going up. So what happens? You have less money.
You have less money, or you're going to have to charge more or whatever. So then everything's going up. But it's not sustainable.
So that's inflation. Ridiculous minimum wage increases are hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
When they raise the minimum wage, no minimum wage person is putting more money in their bank account because of this minimum wage increase. All that's happening is their cost of everything is going up. They're benefiting not at all. Most people are suffering. People who are super wealthy, it doesn't matter. But anyone above minimum wage is not going to benefit from it. It's going to cost them
because they're not getting
more money, but all of their costs are going up as well.
100%.
All that does is make everyone poorer.
As a libertarian, I can say I love to talk about inflation. You know, we can talk about the Federal Reserve if you guys want, but I don't think that would be very interesting for your listeners. But I definitely agree with the monetary policy. Stupid. We need to get back on the gold standard. I don't know. This money doesn't mean anything. I'm a big crypto guy myself.
Oh, come back for another episode. I want to talk about crypto because I have thoughts on crypto.
Okay. Crypto and gold. That's all you need. This paper money's fake.
No, dude. No. Because if it's all virtual, then nothing is real. And there's nothing tangible. So that scares me. But this fucking minimum wage aspect, yeah, it's fucked up. It's not right. It doesn't make any sense. And also, there's so much about the government wanting to give all this shit away. But what do they even have to give? Where is it coming from?
That's what I'm saying. They're just printing money.
Yeah, which makes it not valuable.
Yeah, they, you know, it's so many dollars in circulation that the dollar is worth less. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, it makes basic sense. You
Something
know?
Is valuable because it's rare. But we're digressing. I want to get back to mafia and fucking cartel talk and human trafficking and all that fun stuff.
And borders.
Yes. When there isn't a lot of laws in place and people enforcing those laws, there are people who will take advantage. I also had a thought about optics, the appearance of things. We want to make sure that we look like we care. We look like we're open to everyone coming in. And while we do welcome everyone, there is a process that you need to follow. I think about people who are immigrants who came here legally and did it the hard way. And maybe it's not about just allowing anyone to come in, but maybe we switch that focus on making immigration laws more current and better and more effective for today's living.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, the immigration laws haven't really been reformed in like 30 or 40 years. This is just a problem that no one has addressed, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse because the government is incompetent and corrupt. They just don't solve problems. They're not interested in solving the problems of America. They're interested in profiting off of those problems. They need to do something, right? We're definitely like reaching somewhat of a crisis point with it. So definitely there needs to be some kind of action taken.
I agree. It's funny because I've heard stories, I think something is going down in Chicago, but one of my favorite stories, there's two of them. There's one when Texas shipped, but they sent a bunch of immigrants that came over, illegal immigrants that came over to New York. And who is it? Eric Adams is the mayor of New York right now, I think.
Yeah, Eric Adams. Mm-hmm.
Eric Adams. And he had a press conference and he was just freaking out. He was like, there's so many people here. We don't have the resources. We don't have the means for it. And I think that's such an important message. The idea of something is great, but we have to live in reality. We have to think things through and the facts and the consequences that come from doing certain things. It's so great to be like, we're all welcome. We're all one. We all love. But that's not reality. That's not the reality we live in. And there are real world consequences.
Yeah. Honestly, genius to send them to New York and Chicago, right? Because those are the places that aren't really affected by it, like Texas. Texas has like, they're having a serious issue. And then they started busing these people away. And now they kind of are saying like, this is not our problem anymore. You take the problem, which is, I think it's making it more real for a lot of people. Previously, it was just something you read about in the news. And you could have an opinion that wasn't grounded in reality. But now that it's in your face, now you have to be much more frank and realist about the issue.
Yeah. And it's not fair to put it all on a different state. You know, this mm-hmm. idea that New York can go and live in bliss, it's not fair. And for them to actually see what it means, it's not about racism or anything like that. It's just about basic math. Realistically, if there's a fucking shit ton of people coming over at once, there isn't a government or an economy that can prepare or sustain something like right. that. Especially if you're thinking about people who are illegal. There's so many people that are just here and we have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and we can't even handle those people. Like, our government doesn't even have the resources to take care of these people. We're going to tell them that we're going to try to better their lives while at the same time trying to get everyone on board to let everyone in, even though we can't handle that. We've got free health care to illegal immigrants now.
It's resources okay. that are being pulled from Americans that are going toward people who are illegal that just came here. And honestly, it's not fair. There's so many people in America, and to take away from those citizens to someone who, like, we don't even know who you are.
Yeah. Like, what about, and I don't mean this as a joke, but like, what about everyone who's here, including the people who you said, come here, we'll take you in, we'll help you live your dream. You're not letting them live their dream. You're not helping them. You're making it worse. For those people who came here legally, illegally, whatever, already to make their lives here, you're making it harder for them. You're making it harder for their kids.
Like, when did we lose pride in taking care of our country or having honor and respect for our country? The United States of America is 100% revolutionary. It's never been done before. And the fact that these people, they're ignorant. They have no idea the rest of the world, how they live, the limitations they have, the block on free speech, the huge difference between the wealthy and the poor. It's fucked up. They have no idea how good they have it. And the fact that they're bitching about this really makes me angry.
But it's funny that you say that, because I know a lot of immigrant families. And most immigrant families are more conservative in terms of like law, letting people in terms of whatever.
They see the writing on the wall. A lot of these right. immigrants came from communist families.
Exactly.
So they know what the red flags are. And I'm sorry, like fucking conspiracy theory, whatever. I don't even think this is a conspiracy right. theory. This idea that it doesn't matter what it is, you think how I think, you get on board with me or you're fucking out and I'm coming for right. you. This is why I did this podcast. You think I had any interest in doing a podcast? Fuck no. I don't even know any of this shit. But when COVID happened and things were closed down and people couldn't speak, I'm just like, fuck this. I am someone that can do this podcast. I don't work for anybody. I work for myself. And so I have the ability to do something like this. And that's why I keep my podcast anonymous, for people who want to be anonymous. As it's growing, there are people who are going to come on like you that aren't going to be anonymous because they don't have to be anonymous. But I also have people who are scared to speak freely for fear of repercussions or things falling back on them. And we saw that after COVID, people just coming for people. We saw this fear, people needing to hide. I mean, this is very reminiscent of times from the past, right? There's always been a group of people who've been ostracized that need to go into hiding, that are being targeted. This is a new way to do it because it's not about how somebody looks, it's about how somebody thinks. You've written a book and I've never even read a book, so that's great.
New episodes dropping every Wednesday.